Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our previous lesson, and the one that we want to present today, we're studying how Cornelius, a Gentile, was converted to the cause of Jesus Christ. And the way that he was converted is the way that people are converted now. And Cornelius saw a vision to send for Peter, who would tell him what to do. And Peter came to the house of Cornelius, being shown that the gospel was for all, and he now begins to preach to the household of Cornelius. Now this is essential because he needed to hear the word by which we are saved. But now our question is, what did Peter preach? What was it that Cornelius and the others heard? Well, first, they heard what Peter had to say, and some things happened as he began to preach. But first, there was the affirmation from the Apostle Peter that he recognized that the gospel is for all. He said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Acts 10:34-35. And having said that, Peter begins to preach and teach about Christ and how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Acts 10:38. And he continued to discuss the facts concerning Christ, including his life, his miracles, his death, his resurrection, and how Christ was to be the judge of the living and the dead, and how the prophets had borne witness that he was the Son of God, and how remission of sins was through the faith of Jesus Christ. In fact, he told Cornelius the same revelation that he had preached on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, and the same thing that Philip had preached to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, the same message that Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, also Acts 8, the same message that Ananias had told Saul of Tarsus that we read several times in the book of Acts. He preached Christ and him crucified and as the Savior of mankind. Well, you see, Cornelius and his household, they heard the word of God. They heard the gospel of Christ. Now, this was the purpose for which Peter had come, namely to tell them what they ought to do. Friend, before anyone can come to Christ, he must hear the word of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's no direct operation of the Holy Spirit apart from the word of God. If the Holy Spirit saves directly apart from the word, we don't need to be preaching to anybody about anything. Just let the Holy Spirit take care of it. That's not what took place here, is it? Well, did they believe what they heard? Peter had preached the truth to them. Not everybody believes the truth when they hear it. But Cornelius and his household, they did believe. Acts 15:9 states specifically that their hearts were cleansed by faith. And furthermore, they went on to obey that which was later commanded of them to do. Their salvation was not accomplished apart from hearing the word, or believing the word, or obeying the word. But now we read of another very significant miraculous event, a most notable event, as Peter began to preach. Now it was not after Peter had preached, but as he began to preach, before the house of Cornelius heard the word of God, before they could even know what to do to be saved, we're going to read about an event that took place and see the purpose of it. Now, the purpose of this miracle that we're going to talk about was not to save Cornelius and his household. This was done by the things that Peter told them, to which they properly responded a little bit later. And it was not to prove that they were already saved before they had heard the word or before they believed and obeyed the word. They hadn't heard the word. They didn't know the message of the gospel. Actually, the Holy Spirit fell upon these Gentiles as Peter began to speak, Acts 11 and verse 15. He had not yet told them what thou oughtest to do, as Cornelius said that he would do when he got there. Now, if the Gentiles were saved by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit apart from the word, they were saved without the word being preached, without it being heard, without it being believed, without it being obeyed. And if people can be saved without the word, why are we preaching the gospel? Why are we commanded to preach the gospel? Why, this would mean that it was absolutely unnecessary for Peter to even come there in the first place. The Holy Spirit could have come and saved them without sending for Peter. There had been no need for the preaching of the good news of Christ. Friend, again we repeat that faith cometh by the hearing of the word, Romans 10, 17, and that's why Peter came. This miracle was not to produce faith in the hearts of Cornelius and his family. It was not to save the household of Cornelius. It was not to prove that they were already saved without obeying the gospel. Well, what was the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon these Gentiles? Well, here's the reason it was done. We can determine its purpose either by a specific statement that tells us or by learning how it was understood by those of the first century. We don't have a specific statement telling us the purpose of this miracle, such as the miracles was for the purpose of thus and so. But we do learn how it was used, and we do know how those of the first century understood it, and we can see the consistency of it. Now keep in mind, as we mentioned before, six of Peter's Jewish Christian brethren, these were Jews that had become Christians, had come with Peter to this Gentile household. Keep in mind the exclusive attitude the Jews held toward the Gentiles. These men, like all the others, did not believe the gospel was for all. They had not seen the vision that Peter had seen. But verse 45 tells us that these Jews, they of the circumcision, were astonished because of what took place. But this miracle of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon those of the household of Cornelius, it removed any doubt from their minds that Cornelius, as well as Jews, Gentiles, and people of all the world, are the proper subjects of the gospel. These tongues that they spoke were for a sign, 1 Corinthians 14:24, a sign to those that didn't believe something that they needed to now to believe. It was a sign to these Jews who did not believe that the gospel was for the Gentiles yet, to show them that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. Now, we know that this was the purpose of it. Because of the reaction of those who heard Peter when he rehearsed these events later in their presence, Peter went to the people in Jerusalem, the Christians in Jerusalem. He told them what had happened at the house of Cornelius. And listen to the reaction. When they heard these things, they held their peace. Now let me insert parenthetically, those that were insisting that the Gentiles had to obey the law of Moses, they now hold their peace. They glorified God and they said, God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Acts 11 and verse 18. Friend, we do not have a repetition of this now. For we know that the gospel is for all. We don't have to have a miracle to know that everyone needs to hear the gospel. We can know this from the all-sufficiency of the Scriptures. And again, this miracle, it was not a part of the conversion process. It was incidental to the actions of those that were involved in this conversion. And as Peter preached Christ and the hearers believed what he said, Peter commanded them to be baptized. If people today would preach like Peter, they'd command people to be baptized also. Acts 10:48 says he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, like he had on the day of Pentecost. This is exactly what he had told those earlier to do. He told those on Pentecost to repent and to be baptized, and he told them why. It's for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And this was a water baptism that Peter commanded of Cornelius. He said, "Can any man forbid water that they should be baptized?" Paul teaches that there is but one baptism, Ephesians 4:4-5. Peter preached and practiced water baptism. You know, that ought to settle the matter about what baptism is necessary in order to be saved. And it does settle it for those who believe the Bible. And Peter later on wrote, "Baptism doth now also save us," 1 Peter 3:21. Oh, those who will come along and say, "It doesn't have anything to do with our salvation." Well, they don't preach like the inspired Apostle Peter preached. Now, note also, there was a command from an inspired apostle. You know, when a command is given, one must do one of two things with it. He either obeys it or he disobeys it. Can one disobey what an inspired apostle has commanded, who is preaching by the authority of Christ? Can he be pleasing to the Lord and ignore that command? Of course, an honest answer to that question is, we must obey what we are taught to do. The miracles then were for the purpose of getting the preacher to the lost, convincing Peter that the gospel was for the Gentiles, convincing the Jews that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. But the way of salvation that was preached by the word was heard, it was believed, and it was obeyed, even in baptism. Well, that's the same pattern for every record of conversion recorded in the New Testament, following and beginning with the conversion of the Jews on the day of Pentecost. And that's the way that people are to be saved today. Faith, repentance, confession of Christ, and baptism into Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us to do. And friend, when we do what the Lord says, we can rest assured the promises of God are ours. But there's something else which we can be rest assured also. If we do not obey the promises that God has offered, the promises of heaven, the forgiveness of sins, His providence and guidance in life, it does not belong to us. Why does one want to disobey the Lord by refusing what He has commanded us to do to be saved? I would like to persuade those who may be listening today that if you have not yet obeyed the gospel, that you would do so. God loves you, we love you, we want all men to be saved, but you must obey the gospel of Christ, like Cornelius and his household. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.